Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
I think I just did my job across the board. I felt like I made good decisions, stood in the pocket, moved around a little bit when I needed to. We would like to be better on third down, but it's always nice when you score some points, throw a couple touchdowns. So that was nice to see, but you just continual improvement. Just it was nice to go out there and do my job, but we still got some stuff we got to clean up, and I'd like to see the offense continue to evolve and get better this week. But I felt like I put my team in a good spot, and I feel pretty good about that. But it's on to this week and how to get better from here.
TV's on or off these days? Are they back on now? Because they played better?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I have been glad, though. I think that, I wanted to get the win. Wanted them to get the win so that the narrative would change, so we could stop kind of listening to the rambling press conferences. And I think both the coach and the quarterback were more concise and less is more. I think that maybe they got the message, less is more. They were in and out of their press conferences, and boom, we were on to the Rams. I thought it just felt better.
Okay.
Don't you feel better?
I feel better because of the win.
I'm relieved, but concerned.
The season may already be over.
Could be.
We may look back on all this and say, look, they lost it when they lost to the Raiders, and then they lost that Eagles game, that Chargers game.
Could be.
But to me, if you lose this game, that's, to me, the final nail in the coffin.
I mean, look, Mitch made 3 or 4 fantastic throws, and there was progress. There were no catastrophic mistakes. He had 3 touchdown passes. But at the end of the day, they basically had 7 minutes of offensive output. 7 minutes. The end of the first half, the drive, the final drive, and the first 2 drives of the third quarter. Outside of that, the end of the day, against a hideous Detroit Lions defense, they gained 226 total yards and scored 20 points. The Lions came in averaging 424 and 27 given up. They were 2 of 12 on third downs. In the final 5 drives of their win over the Lions, a bad defense, they punted on all 5 possessions. So, my point is yes, what Mitch said, there was validity to some of the things he said. But that performance offensively ain't going to get you past the majority of teams that you play in this league.
Of course not.
It got you past the Lions. It's not that offensive production will not, I don't think, won't get you past a much better Rams defense. Now, the Rams offense is a hot mess.
Right. But the Mitch truthers will tell you that the offensive line has been bad.
They have been.
Nagy talked about guys running the wrong routes.
True as
well.
The
play caller won't stick with the run, but doesn't throw to the running back at all.
That's all true. All of that is true. You put it all into your offensive cauldron, and it's bubbling, and it smells a little bit, and it's more bad than good. Now, again, you're coming off a W. I'm relieved, but I'm still concerned. You need to see so much more out of the entire offense. If that offensive line gives up, they give up 5 sacks to a defense that had 14 total sacks in the first half of their season. If you bring that performance to Los Angeles, Aaron Donald, Clay Matthews Jr., and the rest of that front 7, it's not going to go well, I don't expect.
Before we get to Michael Wilbon really quick, this game is a Sunday Night Football game, NBC. You're going to hear from some of our favorite guests this week who are part of that broadcast. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, the Hall of Famer Tony Dungy will join the show at 3. And then at 5:30, the great Al Michaels is going to join us. Then on Friday, we're going to talk to our buddy Mike Tirico. It's pretty good stuff.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, this is how you get ready for a Sunday night football game.
And we always love talking to Michael Wilbon every Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
And Michael is brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Michael joins us right now. Your confidence level that the Bears will go out west and beat the Rams is at what?
Between a 5 and a 6.
Okay, that's acceptable.
The Rams are having is nearly as disappointing a season as the Bears are. So, it's not overwhelming. I'm starting off. I was about at a 7.5 on Detroit, and clearly I was borderline too cocky in that game, the way it played out at the end. And, man, you guys got the heavy hitter. You don't even need me. I'm a preliminary act. You got Tirico coming up. You got Uncle Al. Wish him a happy belated birthday. He'll be impressed by that.
Yes.
Al Michaels' birthday, I think, was yesterday.
Okay.
Good Scorpio guy like I am. And, I don't have a lot of confidence. 5-6, I guess, is as high as I can go. I think there's some things that play into the Bears' favor with the Rams' quarterback situation right now. So I'm hopeful, but I don't want to get carried away.
Michael, we talked a lot in the beginning of the show about Colin Kaepernick. It's the hot-button topic again because of Saturday. Before we get into the NFL big picture thing and what they're doing and if this is just a show, I want to ask you this from a Bears perspective, because I said, look, I don't know if Colin Kaepernick can play anymore.
Right.
He wasn't great with his accuracy at the end of his run in San Francisco, but with the Bears in the situation that they're in, I said that Ryan Pace or someone very close to Ryan Pace better be there. And if he has a good workout, they should definitely be interested because they have issues at quarterback. What do you say to that?
Just exactly what you say. And I don't know if he can play anymore. And he can't help him this season. He can't help him this season. They can't even get their own quarterback who they got all these hours and weeks and months vested in. They can't even get him to help the team barely this season. So they're not going to be able to get Colin Kaepernick to help the team this season. He becomes part of the, I don't want to say long-range plan, but you know, sort of a medium range. You hope you can get him ready for next season for Labor Day weekend. I'm not going to get wildly optimistic on that. I don't trust the NFL. As a matter of fact, I believe exactly the opposite of what they say as regards Colin Kaepernick. What they're doing doesn't make any sense on some levels. It's high-handed. It's arrogant. It's typical NFL. It's tone-deaf.
I just don't get it, Mike. Listen, if you're an NFL team, why do you need the cover of the league to orchestrate this workout? If you're interested in Colin,
just work him out.
Call his representatives and schedule
a
workout
right.
Because here's the deal. This workout, I don't know really what you're going to glean from it. Who's he throwing to? Who's running it? And what is going to be? I know there's going to be an interview. What routes are you going to throw? If you're interested in Colin, bring him to your building and ask him your specific questions and put him through your specific workout and how he may be able to contribute in your offense.
Tommy, you're 100% correct, and that's why this is fraudulent.
But why? Why did the NFL feel like they had to do this?
They cover their own butts. Who knows what they promised? Who knows what they promised in the settlement they reached with him? They promised him that they would cooperate if teams called. And why are teams even calling the NFL? That's fraudulent too.
Yes.
Well, you don't need to call the NFL.
Call him.
Somebody. And the fact that they're working him out on a Saturday when nobody's available, anybody who's ambulatory, they'll give a college pro day to and have it at a convenient time where people can go and see it. They won't even give this guy that? I mean, it's fraud all the way around. I mean, look, you guys know how I am about this. Anybody who watches and listens to me over the years knows how I am about this. The NFL puts out the best product, even though that's being threatened now with officiating. They put the best product on the field for the last 40 years. But in terms of whether I would trust them as people, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw a 16-pound bowling ball.
Do you think, do you think that Roger Goodell and the people that work with him and for him, this makes them feel better? I mean, are they doing this to clear their conscience?
Yes.
Or are they providing?
Because they're tone deaf and they don't actually care. They don't actually give a damn. They don't care. I'm not saying everybody in the office doesn't care, but as an entity starting at the top, they don't give a damn about Colin Kaepernick and whether he plays again or not. Because if they did, this smacks of, and I just said this on PTI, it smacks of, you know, if I could put my best foghorn leghorn voice on, it smacks of them calling up one of his representatives saying, you be down there in Atlanta, boy. When we show up to scout you, give you a chance to get back in our league.
Yeah, but I don't even think, I don't know all of the specifics, but the fact that they settled this complaint, there was, unless there was part of the settlement was that they would do whatever they could to provide an opportunity for him
but
to.
But it might be.
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. But Tommy, there. What is this?
I don't
you
know.
You outlined this
as crazy.
Well as anybody
it's crazy.
In television today.
It's crazy.
Of course it is. It doesn't even allow the opportunity of anybody from a coaching staff on a Saturday when they're already in place for what's going on Sunday. It doesn't even allow them to be in place to watch.
I'm not even editorializing on whether or not a franchise should go through the process of
right.
quote unquote taking on the distraction, whatever. I mean,
right,
that's for
right,
somebody else
right.
to yap about. I'm right. just talking about the whole concept of, listen, if you have interest in Colin Kaepernick, call his representatives
right.
and bring him
call
into your
people.
Building.
That's right. You don't need this show in Atlanta. What is it? What does this even mean?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. It is just, you know, there are times where the NFL just bounces off the floor in a new depth. And this is that.
Yeah.
And in terms of the Bears, I don't see the Bears need help. Well, they're going to need help going forward. One of you said that already. I don't think anybody can help them this year because they're not going to bring in a new quarterback. They have two quarterbacks who could help them this year, and neither one seems capable of playing at that level. So what are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, to me, there's only one answer for the Bears in this season at the position of quarterback, and it's get Mitch Trubisky better. You know, get more out of him closer to last week than previously.
I think, guys, I think this is also important. I think this is as much about Matt Nagy being better as it is Mitch being better.
Of
Matt,
course.
You know what, Matt? You be better. We all believe in you. You be better at putting your quarterback, who is yep. underachieved, in better situations to take advantage of what he does acceptably well.
He didn't last week.
I know.
I know he had a better game, but he didn't roll
he
him
did
out.
Later in the game when it got desperate. Well, actually, third quarter. After the just zero showing in the first half. You're right about that, but he doesn't seem fixated on that. He seems like he's just throwing up his hands all the time in frustration, if I could sort of create the reaction that I sense inside. And it's like, what the hell is he doing at this point? You know, what is it? He should be obsessed with getting the max out of his guy. Everything else should be secondary. But that's not what I'm sensing. Like, we don't even see the plays that worked really well for Mitch last year. We don't see a steady diet of those. We don't see any. How often is he thrown on the run so far this season?
Not often.
Handful.
And just the other day, I forget if it was this last game or 2 weeks ago, the one good throw he had was when they rolled him
it
out.
It was against Philadelphia.
They rolled him out. So how, like, what, they got no film in their building? It's you know what, seriously. Seriously, it's either sometimes I think the Bears play like they're depressed, like they play like the fan base, like they play as if like the rest of us feel. And you just want to say, what are you doing? Can I just call a timeout as if they fan and say, what the hell are you people doing? What are you doing offensively with this quarterback? I just saw the following plays last year. Can we stop and take a film study?
That'd be great if they had a fan timeout.
Right.
The time. There's a timeout. Where? In the stands.
Yeah, one fan timeout per game where a fan who's chosen.
On the field.
Yeah,
there you go. I was mad, Michael, yesterday reading. I don't know how much you read the Tribune report. It was really good journalism. But Dan Weider and Rich Campbell about what went on behind the scenes regarding Ryan Pace picking Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson.
I couldn't read it. I know they wrote the piece. I have it printed out from my desktop. I can't look at it.
Well, let me give you this thumbnail sketch on it. Is the thing that got me the most angry was that John Fox, his number one quarterback was Watson. Dave Ragone, their quarterback's coach in the building, who remained there even after John Fox was fired.
Right.
His number one quarterback was Deshaun Watson. fine. You don't have to listen to them. But what Ryan Pace chose not to do, that he did with Mahomes and that he did with Trubisky, was he did not choose to privately work out Watson, nor did he choose to have privately a dinner with Watson like he did with Trubisky.
He just didn't want him, for whatever reason.
And the guys inside your building, your head coach and your quarterback's coach, the guy who would work with him every single day as a quarterback's coach, said, hey, this is our number one guy. Why wouldn't you want to do more homework
on that? There's a simple answer. There's Ryan Pace, and we just talked about this in the previous story. Look, I hate to say this because there are people all over the league also, like Tom Waddle, who, I'd say this to anybody, privately or publicly, there can be no more gracious person I've ever met in sports than Tom Waddle. No more. Anywhere.
We talk about the same guy?
Yeah, who is this Tom Waddle you speak of?
but the NFL model, the consistent characteristic of the NFL, and I've covered the league for a long, long time, is an arrogance that's almost unspeakable. Usually not of the players anyway. It's of front office and executive staff. And the arrogance is unbelievable. It's a repugnant personality that characterizes some things like the dealings with Colin Kaepernick. And in this situation with Deshaun Watson, I don't even care. And he's done some good work. Ryan Pace he's done more good work than not. But it doesn't matter if you screw up the quarterback position. It doesn't matter if you're too arrogant to take recommendation, if you're too arrogant to take counsel. And why would you be so arrogant not to take counsel when you've done nothing? You are nobody. You've won nothing. You've hoisted nothing. You have no banners. You're just a guy who should be working his butt off and taking all the counsel he can while being discerning and realizing you have to reject some of it and realizing you're going to get some of it wrong. But that's not him.
Is it arrogance or ignorance or a combination of both?
Well, I mean, I think it's arrogance because I don't think he's ignorant. I think that what he's done with the rest of the team shows he's not ignorant at all. He's arrogant. He's one arrogant dude.
All I heard was, Michael, when they drafted Trubisky, is one of our hosts on this station was kept yelling, I love it because Ryan Pace is showing conviction. To me, how can you show conviction when you don't do the homework? That's like saying, hey, my favorite food is peanut butter and jelly when you choose not to try lobster or steak.
Here's the deal. I know everything and these people know nothing. Look. Remember, I at this point in my life, I don't talk to anybody in Hallis Hall, but I do talk to other executives and some that I've known for my whole career. And I had people, we talked about this at the time. I know, and I know people that you had on the air. We all talked about hearing these stories from other teams and their executives, and they were in their war rooms going, what are the Bears doing? They're doing what? These stories were abundant. And they're true. And I don't care if Ryan Pace comes on the radio or television and says, well, those are unsubstantiated or we don't believe. I know what I know. All right? And I ain't going to be in this business for 40 years almost, 6 months shy of it, and not believe the people who told me those stories. And I'm not just me. Other people who still cover the NFL. I don't anymore. I do hear my stories from people I've known and people that I trust with information over the years. There are many other reporters who have told you guys the same stuff, and I've seen them in other outlets. And it's just unthinkable that you could not listen. If you bring all of them in and you give it all the thought you have and seek all the counsel you have and be as discerning as you can be, and you miss. It's okay. There's no one out there who hasn't missed. But when you do it the way he did it and you have the persona that he has in the immediate aftermath, it's inexplicable. That's why I couldn't read the piece. And I hope that I'm sure those guys did independent reporting and they have sources that are outside Hallis Hall. But man, I don't want to hear anything that Ryan Pace has to tell me about the selection of Trubisky over Watson and
Mahomes.
Don't want to hear it.
All right, let's segue to basketball so maybe you feel a little bit better about this. did Coby White's What did he do? Did he provide the ultimate deodorant for what was starting to smell like another loss to a bad basketball team? Yeah. Did you see some other things you liked? What did you make of what you saw last night?
I do see some things I like. When we don't have to keep a secret, I mean, three of us were in a little text chain last night for a little bit. And I remember saying to you guys at one point, if they lose this game to the Knicks, I'm going to crush them. Because that's what they would deserve. The Knicks are the most down, they're the most beat down team in the league already. Right?
Yeah.
The coach is on the hot seat, which I don't believe is necessary at all. I believe that's counterproductive to Dave Fizdale, I believe, can coach in this league. I don't believe that Steve Mills and Scott Perry need to be fired by Dolan. I don't believe any of that stuff. But in New York, those guys are being put through the ringer already. The Knicks are beat down, and they're going to come into your building and win for the second time in 10 days? That would be embarrassing. But they didn't. The rookie bailed them out when they were down one. I think this flurry of three-point shooting started down one.
They were tied after three, I believe, right? Weren't they tied at the end of three periods? So
tied at the end of three, 78 all or something like that.
Yeah.
So, he covered it up for one night, but it's okay because he's a rookie.
Yep.
He's your hope. He's your draft pick. He's a guy you want coming along. If he can do that once every two or three weeks, every 2 weeks, which means once about every six games or so, you'd be pretty happy that you'd see development there. What I don't see is development. Lauri Markkanen looks lost. I mean, his turnovers are so weak, they're almost like he doesn't give a damn.
Six of them last
He just
night.
Sort of runs into the middle of the floor, turns it over, takes two steps after the ball, and goes like he throws up his shoulders. Now, maybe that can be just not feeling like...
What happened? Michael?
Maybe he feels, I don't know, maybe he's frustrated with what his role has become. I don't get it. When you go 35-17 on opening night, whatever it is, I mean, how can you then have no confidence like a week later?
I don't know.
I don't understand what the hell he's doing.
This team needs him to develop into
gotta be
a difference maker.
He's got
to
be like a two, we
difference
were thinking,
maker,
right?
The player that people were projecting at the end of his rookie season. He is regressing after a 35. What did he do opening night? 35-18 or
something like that? Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So don't. I don't want to see this in November before November's even over. And Zach. He only really started to get assertive last night as if he was competing with Kobe White. Like he really, Zach, you got the game to do this. You've got the game to be one of the elite two guards in this league, elite wing players, offensively at least. What are you doing? Why are there so many nights where he's just, like, lost? And I don't even like the way he's being used with minutes played. He's off the floor too long. But that's another story. And so I'm looking at this team going, the guy I like best of all is Wendell Carter because he seems like he's making strides within his smaller role. It should be smaller given the position he plays. But he's had some games where he's had, 13-17 and stuff like that. Had double-digit rebounds last night, I believe. So I'm on the verge. I'm trying to remember that the Bulls are much earlier in their rebuilding process. They're sort of at that Cub level in 2014. That's where they are. And it's like let me calm down a little bit. Last night I was ready to explode. You can't lose the Knicks at home, as pathetic as the Knicks are. And I want to see those players out there develop, even if we don't see wins. Man, you guys know it's going to be a long winter. I mean, I can't figure out. Every time I watch the Blackhawks, I get encouraged one night and then two steps back discouraged. The Bears look like an 8-8 team at best, maybe worse. And it's just hard to know. It's going to be a long winter, man.
I know.
I mean, are we waiting for spring training?
It's already like nine degrees here
with snow on the ground. Yeah. Michael, great stuff. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thanks,
okay?
Mike.
All right. Sounds good, you guys.
Michael Wilbon's the absolute best. Good stuff.
That's fantastic.
312-332-3776 if you want to react to any of it. The Bears stuff, the article from yesterday in the Trib, the conversation about Colin Kaepernick. The Bulls, whatever's on your mind, 332-3776.
Hey, our team's offensive coordinator designs plays for every possible offensive scenario on the field, whether it's screen passes to the running back or long bombs to a wide receiver. The right calls are made to get the team to its goal, the end zone. And just like an offensive strategy, Wintrust creates a game plan to help you reach your financial goals off the field. A checking account for your family, a first savings account for your kids, a mortgage for your first home, financial planning for your retirement, a loan for your local business. Whatever the need, Wintrust has the right game plan for you. And while Chicago has a strong team of players dedicated to winning the game, Wintrust, a team of bankers, lenders, mortgage experts, and wealth and treasury management professionals stand ready for any play life throws your way. And just as they're our hometown football team, Wintrust is Chicago's bank, proud to call this city home. Visit Wintrust.com/find us to find a Wintrust community bank near you. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Our listeners did let us down in one regard. I'll tell you that with the holiday parody song contest as Mark Jean Greco steps in the studio. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Here comes Shingle Face, here comes Shingle Face, here comes Shingle Face Cap. Itching and scratching, better be careful, don't pick off that scab. Give us some space from your gross face, please don't post any pics. Blocked on Twitter and Instagram, cause shingles are contagious. Here comes Shingle Face, here comes Shingle Face, here comes Shingle Face Cap. Blistering rashes cover his face just like on Yurko's. People passing most are gasping, trying hard not to stare. But let me tell you the grossest thing is Shingle Face is back on air.
Oh, yeah. That was simple and great. Did you give that a thumbs up?
Yes, I gave a thumbs up to that yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah.
That's spectacular.
Marky's in studio, brought to you by Chicago Cut, as always.
That was Mike Veltri's second entry.
Oh, good job, Mike. That was a much better entry.
Yeah, didn't Mike kind of stumble in the first one?
You were not a fan of Mike's first one. You called him out pretty substantially.
Then guess what happened? Mike went back to the workshop. Came out with that, and he got two thumbs up.
He didn't turn off the TVs.
No,
he didn't turn off the radio.
No.
He embraced
that's right. You know what? He embraced the criticism, constructive criticism. He went back into the old work shed,
and he came out with that. The work shed. See, that's what you do, Tommy.
I inspire
people.
You
make people better.
I inspire
people. You inspire them.
That's right. I didn't call him names. I didn't get nasty with him. I just gave him a blunt evaluation of his first... Well, you're an ass.
I know.
But I just gave him a blunt assessment of his first entry.
Can I challenge the listeners, though?
Smoked a blunt.
What? I'm disappointed with the listeners in one regard in this year's. The entries have been as good as they've ever been, especially this early. But how do we not have a Jim Boylan song yet?
I know.
How do we not have anything Jim Boylan? I asked Mellor, really? Do we not have a Jim Boylan song?
Okay, so why don't again... inspire people. Here are some elements. You got to incorporate Matt Foley, motivational speaker from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's good.
You got to get that in there.
Yeah.
You just got to string together a bunch of his gee whiz, golly shucks.
Spirit. Right? What does he say? He says spirit and what? What's his two things?
He does the fist thing when he walks off the podium.
What does he do?
So he gives you the
wonder they're not
fist.
Winning.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have yet either. It's Wednesday, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:30.
We don't have the Gene Greco song.
We get the newly signed, extended Mark Gene Greco.
Right.
And he also signed a new deal.
Mark, he's got new paper, Mark. He's got new paper. Well, he's going to be around for 3 more years.
You remember one of the first efforts was about me, and we kind of said no.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
Can I give a tip? A request regarding a Mark Gene Greco song?
What element should we incorporate in that?
Like, how about the 12 snacks of Gene Greco?
Going back to shaving him?
Right, as he comes back from his sports cast at night. We know he loves to eat late at night. The 12 snacks. Something like that.
Manscaping, bad food.
Monday, did you
sleep.
Did you get manscaped in there on Monday?
No, I didn't. Why was there hair all over the floor?
No, there were clippers. I heard the sound. I went to the bathroom, and coming out of the makeup room, there was the clipper sound. No, and I said to the guys,
those weren't clippers.
What is that?
That's one of Mellor's sex toys. You know, every once in a while. You don't want the batteries to go bad.
Mellor,
I think
he besmirched you.
No.
Mellor,
at the 5 o'clock hour with absolutely no evidence.
No wonder he kept playing the wrong sound effect during Life for Radio Partner.
No, Jeffy's my guy. Come on.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Truth is, Mark knows because he's the one who gifted me
exactly.
The sex toy
that's
for
right.
Christmas. Yeah. So thank you, Mark.
Got it from Dick's Sporting Goods.
That's going too there far. We go. All right, well, so Guinness, I didn't touch a thing.
Okay.
Guinness, the holiday parody songs at ESPNholidayparody@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's how you enter.
Gmail.
Gene Greco. The 12 snacks of Gene Greco.
That would be very good.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. The shingles ones have been good, as expected.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. What else have we not received yet, guys?
I'm trying to think. I mean, we've had plenty of bears. We've had plenty of bears entries.
Well, you guys think on it. Can I give you a new one that we just received?
Oh, yeah.
So you guys remember Josh Caputo?
Yes. He did the Nick Friedell song, right?
You are correct, sir. So to the tune of We Wish You a Merry Christmas, this is Josh's version of a Cubs-related one.
We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. So you better not leave. Just take whatever money they'll give you and stay. Cause I really like your chest hair and I'll stare at it all day. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. So you better not leave. The Cubs bats were flailing and you came a-calling with your big giant Nick bat and a couple dozen home runs. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos. We'll miss you, Nick Castellanos and your big, huge, giant Nick bat.
You know, it sounded like he recorded that outside somewhere. He's just standing around.
See, the a cappella version, I need the music track.
You do? You need a production?
I need the production because we're spoiled now. The production value has been so good. I love the Nick Castellanos. I love that phrase.
Yeah.
That's very good.
If I can break out of my Paula Abdul.
There's no chance you're giving anyone anything other than two thumbs up.
Well, I think for Josh Caputo, that was horse crap.
Wow.
Welcome to the real world.
Mister
Caputo, I know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
The payoff wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be, and we waited a long time for not a lot to be accomplished.
Sylvie, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree.
And he's good too.
Yeah,
he's been a finalist in the past.
So put that down as constructive blunt criticism.
Yes,
it's a better effort.
Trill, do you want me to blow sunshine up your backside, or do you want me to tell you exactly the way it is?
Give it to me.
Excuse me.
The way it is. I don't need sunshine.
Sunshine.
You want to take some calls with us?
Okay.
This has been fun lately. And you've been rating the callers, and they've been better usually.
We had like triple shot last time. We had back to back to back.
All right, so don't screw this up. John in Hawthorne Woods, you're on with Mark Gene Greco. Hey, Johnny.
Good evening. Good evening, guys. Hey, one thing I just thought of. A couple years ago, you had a pretty decent Wilbon song. Maybe you guys could use that song for the Christmas season Wilbon episodes.
Okay, yeah.
We'd like
someone get a Wilbon theme song.
Yeah.
Well, no. Use the one that the one that came in a couple years ago was really pretty good. I think it was an almost finalist.
Okay. Which one was that? I forget that one.
To enter his Christmas season segment.
Are we allowed to recycle?
Yes, absolutely. We've not heard Poop Knife yet.
That one was banned by
the
people we love.
Yeah, but now
I think it's back.
Should we play that next?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for reminding us, Johnny.
Just walk down memory lane that we were.
What I called about on Pace was the real sin for me was. By not properly vetting Watson and getting him a equivalent evaluation as Mitch or close by, that forced him into the trade-up. If you think Mitch and Watson are somewhat identical, then you don't have to worry about the trade-up. If somebody jumps in front of you, you take the other guy. And then you still have that other draft capital to better improve the team.
Yeah, that obviously
jumps up.
Obviously told, John, it obviously told all of us that, I mean, they were 100% all in. That there was no, we'll take him or him.
Yeah, too giddy.
Did you like the tribute article?
John, very good call. He's got the radio voice, too.
He's got a good voice. Yeah. Did you like the Weider Campbell article?
I thought it was
article?
Spectacular. It was long. It was detailed. It was precise. I thought it was excellent. You know, and Matt Nagy didn't really address it. Nobody really asked him about it today.
We were debating that off the air. I'm glad you brought that up. Should there have been questions about the article?
Yes, absolutely. You think should so? Have been. Yes, I do.
Like, what would you have asked?
Is this true? Is this evaluation process
true? But who are you going to ask it to?
He wasn't there at the time.
Right, and he would have immediately said, I'm going to refer that to Ryan, just the way he did when he deflected the question about Kaepernick. Oh, that's Ryan Pace's thing. Yeah, I don't even bother with that. Well, yeah, you have to bother with that. You guys should be on the same page
with
everything.
I think now, Matt, obviously will have a voice in all of the quarterback decisions, but back then, I think that's a question that you have to save for
I would
for
have
Pace.
Asked him about the part where Nagy was told to evaluate three quarterbacks when he was with the Chiefs.
Right. We've tried to ask him about that.
You know?
He's not, I don't think he wants to go on record now that he's coaching Mitch that...
And like, I understand why.
And I think you got a peek inside how the Chiefs felt. Brett Veach is his good friend. They played college ball together. He was one of the most outspoken guys in the Chiefs hierarchy, and he wasn't even the general manager then. John Dorsey was,
right. Mm-hmm.
But went to the plate with Andy Reid and with John Dorsey. He said, look, it's this guy. This is the special guy of the draft. And that's how it started, and Nagy and him were very tight. And
right, and now Matt stuck with a pure project, as it was put.
Yeah, I mean, and how long does it remain a project? That's the question.
And this whole Kaepernick thing, you know, this whole NFL workout obviously stinks to me. Suddenly they've gotten religion and, you know, they've seen the light. And to pressure him into saying it's this Saturday, can't change it, not next Tuesday, not next Saturday. You know, this just sounds like a sham to me. I don't know if they're trying to get out in front of what they perceive as more litigation.
How could they do that? Settled. Right, they've already settled it. So
they've already settled with him, and he got what? Between $1 million and $10 million?
I don't know.
But maybe they see something coming down the road. I don't know that they want to do a preemptive strike because this stinks as some kind of charade and publicity stunt. And, you know, and then they present it to Kaepernick like take it or leave it. So if he says, well, I'm not comfortable going, hey, we offered it to him. He didn't show up. Boom. End of discussion. So you can't trust the NFL front office on anything.
I bet there are a lot of guys that aren't currently employed that played in the NFL that would love for the NFL to set up a day where they can go perform in front of all 32 teams.
Why don't they? An in-season combine of guys who don't have jobs. Why? They should do that.
Well, that's up to the teams to bring guys in. So
just you know, like a pro day for guys.
Yeah. Don't they do some kind of undrafted free agent thing after the draft? Don't they hold little tryouts?
Well, I think they have regional combines.
Yeah, regional.
I mean, where you know, guys come in and work out.
Marquee is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle on the River. David Flom and Matt Moore are going to roll off the red carpet for you, and you may even see some celebs there. They're eating steak. They're having Dover sole like Marquee does. They sit at the Gene Greco table. Ask for that when you make a reservation. You're absolutely going to love it. Over 600 wines, spectacular views, outstanding service. All those, the servers there are magnificent.
It's a fantastic place.
And you know how great it is outside in the summer, right on the river? But it is just the ultimate comfort food experience in the wintertime.
I bet they got the decorations up already.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You know, they're very
like the decorations at Macy's. They're unbelievable.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
By the way, as part of the NFL workout for Kaepernick, are they going to play the anthem and see what he does?
Don't know. It's a good question.
Just like them.
Hey, with holiday season approaching, it's time to start thinking about the perfect holiday gift, Mark, for that special loved one in your life. Mm. That also means it's... What do you mean?
No, I went,
Also means it's time again for another Waddle special from my good friends Joe and Tony from Distinctive Gold Jewelry in Frankfurt. For the remainder of November only, they are going to be offering a very special discounted price on their 14-carat rings, Mark, featuring five rows of pave-set lab-grown diamonds.
What? This
diamond ring, stunning. I recently gave one to my lovely wife, Cara. She thinks that is fantastic. I think you ought to take a look at it, and maybe it's something you may be interested in.
Do you know who you would love? You'd love Joe and Tony.
Yeah, you would.
They are your type of guy.
That's right. Awesome. And guys, if you feel like money might be tight this month, no worries. They offer 12 months interest-free, no down payment needed, plan upon approval.
So go there in person or check them out online at distinctivegold.com. Mark, ask about this month's Waddle special, and they will personally show you these Pave diamond rings or other jewelry.
Why don't
Mark,
I just rummage through Cara's jewelry that you box? May, she's got all kinds
that
of
that you
stuff.
May be shopping for as well. They'll have some of that stuff as well. Distinctive Gold Jewelry, my favorite jewelry store, and the only one I will endorse. That's Distinctive Gold Jewelry, where Chicago buys their diamonds.
It's getting hot in here.
What does Baker Mayfield have in common with Jay Cutler? Did you hear about this? I'll tell you guys coming up next, and we'll hear an oldie but a goodie as far as the holiday parody song contest. Marky's here. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Poop knife, dirty knife, ate too much, I'm dying inside. Gambled and lost quite a few times, but this time I'm ready, the toilet's all mine. Feels like I'm giving birth, can't flush, there's too much girth. Poop knife, dirty knife, toilet's full, no plunger in sight. Solve this problem like only I can. I grab my poop knife with my right hand, cut it up into pieces, flush away my feces.
That was an entry from last year.
Wow.
The story goes, it was a Waddle's World story. There was a Reddit post about a guy who grew up with this thing called the poop knife.
Yeah.
That when the toilet couldn't flush it, that they would use a knife to cut it down, and they would have it in the bathroom. And then he went to a friend's house and
asked for the poop knife.
Yes.
Stop it.
They said a poop knife. What's such a poop knife?
It's in the poop drawer. Wow, I almost hit the dump button for that whole thing.
I get it.
See?
I love that song because it's a journey. It takes you through a whole story.
Yes.
It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end.
So does the poop.
The middle might have been cut in half.
All right, so one thing really quick, and then we have some news on the Kaepernick stuff. Did you see that Baker Mayfield was complaining about what Jay Cutler used to complain about with us? The crowd is too noisy when have the football.
Yeah.
He was lecturing the crowd.
No when to cheer.
No when to cheer. Remember, Jay used to go through that with us. This is turning into almost a Jay Cutler-esque stay in Cleveland for Baker Mayfield, isn't it?
It is. I thought they were going to compare mustaches or something, but yeah,
he was the first pick of the draft too, wasn't he? Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Baker was. Yeah, but Jay wasn't.
No, I know. I thought he like Kyler Murray, first pick of the draft in consecutive seasons.
Absolutely.
Wow. How about this Kaepernick stuff? I knew it. Go ahead.
So this is, Adam, you have it, Waddle, or do you want me to read it?
If you got it,
I've got it. Adam Schefter just tweeted 3 minutes ago. Several executives with teams have reached out as a courtesy to Colin Kaepernick's representatives, saying they could not attend Saturday's workout and were confused by the purpose of the NFL scheduling this workout.
The only time GMs and scouts and coaches can do anything are Tuesdays. They were insisting on a Saturday, and this Saturday and not next Saturday,
which raises suspicion. I'm not sure either that a head coach is leaving anywhere to go to a workout on a Tuesday, because those guys are working 7 days a week, round the clock,
ill-conceived. It was posted too quickly. As Jeff mentioned in the break, not enough people heard about this within the NFL. It wasn't bounced off enough executives. This is going to backfire in their face. And I really want to know what prompted this, because it's a mess. I think it's going to be canceled. I think it's going to wind up being canceled. I really do.
I think I saw a little bit earlier on SportsCenter that there was five or six teams or seven teams that had already committed people to be there. And I know I just read that the Patriots have said that they will send a representative.
And again, we've always said if it's good enough for the Patriots, it should be good enough for the Bears.
Now, see, now I really don't trust it if the Patriots are.
You know, the Patriots will sign him and then flip him for something. Exactly. For like a draft pick or something.
Right. They'll play him all preseason. He'll look good, and then they'll flip him.
Yep.
Your jealousy is just out of control when it comes to the Patriots.
So that's from Shafty.
By the way, join Northwestern football at Ryan Field this month. The Cats host UMass this Saturday.
Go Cats.
And they're Minnesota.
They're a 92-point favorite.
And Minnesota on November 23rd.
Go Cats.
Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com.
Go Cats.
You know, we have tomorrow a bunch of the guys from NBC. Tony Dungy is going to join us. Of course, Hall of Fame coach.
Classiest men alive.
One of the great. You know, he had a really interesting take, too, about the NFL's pass interference rule and how
needs to go away.
Oh, yeah. He hates it so much.
He hates it.
Yeah, I do. So
I agree.
Dungy tomorrow at 3 to talk Bears and Rams, and then Al Michaels.
Well,
the great Al Michaels. There's nobody better than Al.
Recently, his birthday. We were told
75 years old, still going
75
strong.
75 years young.
Yes,
very young. He'll join us at 5:30. So at about this time tomorrow.
Know what his first job was?
I do. Reds? Can I guess? Yes.
The Reds. Then Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who took over for Al Michaels?
Marty Brenneman.
Marty Brenneman.
Yes.
This one belongs to the Reds.
Hey. Didn't say it like that. This one belongs to the Reds.
Okay. All right.
You got to have a little more anger to you.
Well, you know.
Marky, we will see you on Friday.
I guess.
We've got tonight. How about, is this solo Abdallah tonight?
Yeah, they've given me a platform to just yell into the wind about Alabama for an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow. Okay, so
I thought that was your brother, solo Abdallah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Adam Abdallah coming up next, live and local right here at 6 o'clock. Then we've got Hoops, Northwestern against Providence at 7:45. Thank you to Michael Wilbon, Jesse Rogers, and the one and
Bad
only
News Barnes,
Mark Jean Greco,
Ernie DeGregorio.
Thank you to Adam Abdallah and Jeff Miller for Waddle and Marky. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.